Dear friends in Jesus Christ, I want to share something with you that I think you probably know, but I'm afraid the world does not know. Think about this. God is holy and requires us to be holy. We have sin, though. We are not holy, and sin is a huge problem. What does the Bible say? Over in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2, it says, "Your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God." Think about Adam and Eve. After God made them, they were without sin, and God would walk with them in the garden. When they fell into sin, there was separation between them and God. The entire world is experiencing that today, apart from our Lord Jesus Christ. God also wants us to know that we and all people are helpless to ever fix that situation. Some people try and try, like they know they've done wrong, so they're trying to do all this good, and they're thinking somehow their good will overcome their bad, but it doesn't work like that. So what happened? Well, God has to take action. We can't do it. God has to take action to make us holy in His sight, and He has done it. That is the good news. Well, I want to begin by going to Psalm 103, part of it today, and I'm calling it the infinite separation. We're picking up in verse 10, and the Bible says, "The Lord has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." What is that talking about? It's talking about the fact that our sins have earned for each one of us temporal and eternal punishment. That's the reality of the matter according to the Bible. But what is the good news? It's so amazing. Each and every one of us have so many sins, but yet the love of our great God, His love, is greater than our sins. Isn't that so awesome? God loves us so much. His love is greater than our sins. And then it goes on in verse 11. "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him." We want to make sure we're in that category of those who fear Him. What does that mean? Well, to fear Him means to trust in Him. And if we actually do trust in Him, if we have God-given trust in Him, the result of fearing Him, the result of trusting Him, is we're going to have a desire within us to want to obey Him. In other words, it's not simply saying we trust, saying we have faith, but when we really do, then we're going to have this desire, according to our new nature, to want to do what God says. So in verse 12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." So think about it like this. When traveling east, we will never meet west. They are, we could say, infinitely separated from each other. Imagine if you were able, well, we are able to travel. If we jump on a jet airplane, we can begin to fly east. And if we keep flying east, we will never, ever meet west. We could go around and around and around. Think about even the space shuttle, for example, going around and around and around, or even the space station around planet Earth. But if it happens to be going east, it's never going to meet west. So we could say there's an infinite separation between east and west. Now, is that true with north and south? It's not. If we start going north, by the time we get to the North Pole and crest the top of planet Earth, now we're going south. So it's not true there. But east and west, there is an infinite separation. What is God telling us here in the psalm? Think about it like this. When we are in Christ, God makes an infinite separation between us and our sins. Now, if you're like me, when you fall into sin, you can feel it. It's like the sin is like clinging to you. The guilt is clinging to you. It feels like it's right there. What does God want us to know? He wants us to know that his word is greater than our feelings. So even though we might feel like the sin is close, what is God saying? He is saying that when we are in Christ, there is this infinite separation that God has made between us and our sins. Let's not go with how we feel. Let's go with what the Word of God says. Let us always believe it to be true, every single bit of it. And then I want to go on to the Old Testament reading now. So we're in Genesis 50. The topic here is forgiving our enemies. So in the Psalm, it's talking about God forgiving us. Now in the Old Testament reading, forgiving those who sin against us. We come to a very famous story here about Joseph in the Old Testament. The Bible says, Joseph said to his brothers, "Do not be afraid, for am I in God's place?" What's the situation here? Well, you might recall how the older brothers of Joseph, they decided, let's murder our brother. Terrible thing, isn't it? You have 10 older brothers, and they're like, let's murder one of our little brothers. It's a horrible thing. Thank God they didn't do that, but they decided instead, let's sell him into slavery. That ended up being pretty miserable for Joseph, because not only was he sold into slavery, he's functioning as a slave in Egypt, he's falsely accused, and then he goes into a miserable prison in Egypt. So he went through a lot of great difficulty because of his brothers. Now their father has died. And you know, with the great blessing of God, Joseph has risen to a position of great power and influence in Egypt. Now that their father has died, Joseph easily could have said, take these men and put them to death. And there would have been no hesitation to take them and put them to death. I mean, Joseph had such power and influence here in Egypt. So what was he saying? Am I in God's place? He was saying, am I your judge? Am I the one to judge you for what you did to me? And then it goes on. Joseph says to them, as for you, my brothers, you meant evil against me, but God meant it, or we could say used it, for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive. So therefore, do not be afraid. Again, Joseph is saying, hey guys, I'm not your judge, but understand that this way, my brothers, God has forgiven me. And because God has forgiven me, I'm extending my forgiveness to you. Joseph understood that. Joseph had that gift of faith by which he was looking ahead for the coming Messiah. So he had that God-given faith in the Messiah, and therefore he understood what God had done for him, and now he is passing on his own forgiveness to his brothers. Now he's not extending God's forgiveness to his brothers, he's giving his forgiveness to his brothers. Let's think for a moment about the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer. We pray it all the time. Maybe we don't always think about it, but we pray, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. What are we actually saying to God? We are saying, Father in heaven, you know everything. So in exactly the same ways that I am extending my forgiveness to others, I'm asking you in the exact same way to extend your forgiveness to me. That's a little bit of a scary thing, isn't it? Because are we actually doing a super great job at forgiving others all the time? Well, probably not. Some people can be very evil and very mean, And when such people sin against us, it's kind of hard to extend forgiveness to them, isn't it? We probably have all experienced that. But what is God saying here? God is saying, don't forgive them because of who they are. Forgive them because of what God has done for us. That has to always be the motivation. We did not deserve it, but God gave us free and full forgiveness. So because we are holy children of God in Christ, for that reason alone, let us then extend free and full forgiveness to others. And what's going to be a great way to motivate us to do it? We have to keep remembering, oh, wait a minute. I was in sin. I was hell bound. And now by the grace of God, I am forgiven. I am heaven bound. May the joy of that reality, may that joy move us then to extend our forgiveness to others. Now, again, that's not God's forgiveness. That's our forgiveness. If someone does something horrible to me, and I extend my forgiveness to him, does that mean that he's forgiven in the sight of God? It doesn't. But God has enabled me to do what he wants me to do to extend my forgiveness. That person still is in need of repenting and believing so that he can receive God's forgiveness for himself. Now, is it possible that with us extending our forgiveness to someone who is even unrepentant, now they might mock us for forgiving them, but it's also possible that when we extend forgiveness to such a person, that might catch their attention, get them thinking, and God might use that to lead them to repent. So it's an important, powerful thing. We now come to our gospel reading, so we're in Matthew chapter 18, and I'm calling it As Forgiven, So Forgive, so very similar to what we had with Joseph. Going to verse 21, the Bible says, "Then Peter came and said to Jesus, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?' Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven.'" Does that mean that we should be handing out like charts in the back? Maybe a brochure that would fit here at Bethlehem, a brochure with 490 blocks. And that way, every time you extend forgiveness to someone, you can check a block off. And once their brochure is full, then you're done forgiving that person. Well, that's not what God has in mind here. Think about this. Let's be so thankful that God does not have such a brochure that he is checking off when we sin against him. Isn't that so amazing that God does not limit his forgiveness to us? Let us never limit our forgiveness to others. And then we go on here, and we're thinking about God to us now. That's the first part of what I want to share. So Jesus wanted to make a point about God's extreme generosity in forgiving us. So now he tells a parable. Jesus said, "For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything.' And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt." Well, first of all, how much was the debt? Well, we can't know exactly how much the debt was, because when we think about a talent is not a measure of money, rather a talent is a measure of weight. So if we had a talent of gold, of course, that's going to be worth a lot more than a talent of silver. So we just don't quite know here. But let's understand, though, we are talking about 10,000 talents, not just one, so 10,000. And even if it was a lower grade metal, we're still probably talking a value today in the millions. So we're talking about a huge, huge debt that this slave has run up with the king, with his lord. What about the king and the slave? We're really talking about God being the king and we are the slaves. So let's understand that our debt to God is so huge. We're talking in the millions, millions of sins. Or think about it like this. Some of you might remember this from the old Kennedy evangelism program, but if you encountered someone who didn't think they had any sin, so you might say, hey, we can sin in all kinds of different ways. We can sin in thought, in word, in deed, in attitude. It's so easy to fall into sin. So you might say to someone, just imagine that you only sin 3 times every day. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if all of us have sinned 3 times just in the last 10 minutes, but imagine you only sin 3 times every day, so that would be over 1,000 sins per year, 3 times 365, and then multiply that times your age, and you have at least tens of thousands of sins. And let's be honest, 3 sins a day, we're probably talking about probably 100 sins a day. So now that number has become much, much greater. Let's understand, if we would count up our sins against the Almighty God, they are so very many. That's what Jesus is trying to get us to understand with this idea of 10,000 talents. What is the good news, though? God, through Jesus, cancels the debt. No matter how great the debt is, even if I was a mass murderer in Christ, God would fully forgive me. Isn't that so amazing? God's love, God's forgiveness in Christ is so very great. Well, let's go on now and talk about us to others. So we took a look at God to us. What about us to others? So we pick up in verse 28. That slave, Jesus said, now we're talking about the slave who was just forgiven the 10,000 talents. That slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you. But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. I mean, think about the situation. So the first slave, he's coming out from the presence of the king. Maybe he owed the king somehow millions of dollars. He was going to be sold. His whole family was going to be sold until he could pay off the debt, and the king forgives everything. Shouldn't you be like jumping for joy? And yet you go right out into the street, you see a fellow slave who owes you money, and you begin to choke him. Is that a Christian? I mean, let's understand what God has done for us in forgiving us so much. And then the joy of that, that should change how we are dealing with those who are indebted to us. Let's understand, when we sin against God, we owe him a debt that we cannot pay. When others sin against us, they owe us a debt. And when we forgive them, we are canceling the debt, just as God has canceled the debt to us. Let's understand this a little bit better. So how much was the debt? Well, we know a little bit more about a denarius in comparison to a talent. So a talent, again, is a measure of weight. A denarius is a measure of money. So a denarius It was a Roman silver coin equivalent to a laborer's average daily wage. So we're talking about 100 days of work. Maybe we could say we're talking about what someone might make for working for 4 months doing hard labor. Well, how much would that be today? Well, in today's world, we're talking in the tens of thousands of dollars. Now, that's a lot of money, but it's a small amount when you compare it to millions of dollars. God wants us to understand there's a big difference there, so we can compare between millions and thousands. Sure, can somebody do a really rotten thing against us? Is there a pretty big debt there? Yes, but again, the debt is in thousands. It's not in millions. Well, Jesus is pointing to the sins that we commit against each other, and especially he's pointing to the sins that our fellow people commit against us. That's what we're dealing with here. What happened, though, with the man who had been forgiven the great debt? It's such a horrible thing, he refused to forgive. What's going on here? Jesus wants us to know that extending forgiveness is critical, and when we do not do it, we are putting ourselves in eternal jeopardy. Think about what Jesus went on to say. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord, the king, all that had happened. Then summoning him, his lord said to him, in other words, summoning the one who was forgiven the 10,000 talents, summoning him, the king said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you?" And his lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. Coming to the final verse now, this is really what Jesus wants us to get out of this whole parable. Jesus said, "My heavenly Father will also do the same to you," in other words, not forgive you and punish you forever if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Forgiveness is such a huge and serious topic in the Bible. God wants us to be so happy on one hand that we have his forgiveness in Christ. He wants us to be so serious on the other hand to make sure that we are extending proper forgiveness to others. So when we think about forgiveness, to forgive is not merely to say it. So oftentimes that's the case, isn't it? We say it, but it's so important to sincerely forgive, to hold no grudges, to never bring it up again. These are critical. If we're not dealing with forgiveness like that, it's probably not really sincere forgiveness. Do we want God to tell us we are forgiven? But then in the back of God's mind, he's thinking about all these horrible things we have done, and he's kind of wavering on whether he's going to be in a relationship with us or not. Wouldn't that be a horrible thing? Isn't it so wonderful to know that God has made an infinite separation between us and our sins through Jesus? What an amazing thing. May the joy of that help us to properly forgive. Where do we get such desires? For people who are unbelievers, they don't really have the desire or the motivation or the power to forgive because they have not been forgiven, or I should say, they have not yet received God's forgiveness. But for us who have received it, let's be overflowing with joy, and may that joy move us to truly forgive others. Now, again, just to clarify, when we forgive others, we're not giving them God's forgiveness, we are giving them our forgiveness. Like if they did something horrible, we're not like letting them off the hook, but rather we are giving them our forgiveness, but they still need to repent and believe in order to receive God's forgiveness. May God help us to function in this way every moment of every day. If we're driving our car and we get cut off, hey, let's extend forgiveness. And no matter what it is, may God help us to just so quickly extend forgiveness to everyone who sins against us. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for gifting us with forgiveness, with full forgiveness through Jesus. Now, as we live our lives here in this fallen world, move us to be extremely generous in freely and fully forgiving all who ever sin against us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.